The third of the adab of wudu is recitation of the transmitted dua during and after wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to us and through Umar radiallahu anhu by telling us that the person who makes the following dua after making their wudu, they open up 8 gates of heaven and they can enter from any one that they choose. And the dua was, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma jalni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. So I testify that there is only one deity worthy of worship, Allah, and He has no partners, and that Muhammad is His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, O Allah, make me, Allahumma jalni min at-tawwabin, make me from those who are turning back to You, wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin, and make me from those who purify themselves. This is the dua that should be made right after the wudu. And in fact, we know then the result is فُتِحَتْ لَهُ أَوَّابُ الْجَنَّةِ الثَّمَانِيَةِ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أَيِّهَا شَاءَ. That 8 doors of Jannah are open for such a person. He may enter from any of them that he pleases. This is an amazing dua, and it's an amazing blessing upon us. And so this is part of the adab. Not mandatory, your wudu will still occur, but you should try to recite this. Now along with that, the other things that you want to try to keep in mind when you do the wudu is there are various other transmitted du'as. For example, as you're washing the hands, there are different du'as for washing the hands. As you're washing the face, there are various du'as that you will read in books about washing the face. These are actually transmitted from various salihin as they interacted with the wudu in order to show their consciousness of the wudu and in order to share with you the idea of your being conscious within the wudu. What these du'as do is they highlight a very, very important principle in the science of making dua. And we've spoken about this on previous occasions, but one of these principles is that you should make a dua based on the situation that you're in. In general, when you're making a dua, you should try to make a dua based on the situation that you're in. So for example, as you're washing your body parts, let's say that you're washing your nose. So then think in your heart, O Allah, just as I have purified my nose, O Allah, let me smell the scent of Jannah. So that's a way of interacting with your wudu and understanding the depth of your wudu. When you wash your hands, you can say, O Allah, I have purified my hands as much as I can. Assist me in purifying them further. Now actually, this principle of taking advantage of the situation is beautifully highlighted throughout the Quran in several places. For example, if you look at this story of Zakariya in the Quran, Zakariya alayhi salam was actually in charge of taking care of Maryam. That was his responsibility. And it says in the Quran that every time he would enter into Maryam's quarters, wajada indaha rizqa, he would find rizq there. And it had come from the angels. Nobody had brought it to her. So every time he would enter, he would find rizq. He would find sustenance there. And in fact, what he would find was fruits that were out of season. She would have foods that shouldn't have been present in that particular season. And so, he says, قَالَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes this in his book, قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمْ, he says, O Maryam, أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا, how is it that you have this? How is it that you have fruits outside of the season of that fruit? قَالَتْ, so she responds, هُوَ مِنْ إِنْدِ اللَّهِ, verily, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُكُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, gives rizq to whoever He desires without any hisab. So she completely attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now at that moment, Zakariya alayhi salam got a thought in his mind. And his thought was that he had been praying for a long time for a child and he never had a child. And in fact, he had become very old outside of the season of childbirth. And his wife had become very old outside of the season of childbirth. But he thought in his mind that if Maryam alayhi salam can have fruits outside of their season, why can't I have children outside of my season? So what did he do? Right away, hunadika, at that moment, da'a Zakariya Rabba. At that moment, Zakariya made a dua to his Lord. What did he say? Qala Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. O Allah, give me from you a righteous, a pure offspring. Innaka sami'u du'a. Verily you hear the dua. And so what happened? The next moment, فَنَادَاهُ الْمَلَائِكَ, then, all of a sudden, angel called out to him. and said, وَهُوَ قَائِمًا يُصَلِّي فِي الْمَحْرَابِ, while he was still standing in the mahrab praying and making this dua, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with Yahya. He took advantage of the situation. He saw that Maryam alayhi salam was getting fruits outside of the season, so why not make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I too get a child outside of the season of childbirth. And so even though he was extremely old and his wife was extremely old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him at that moment for taking advantage of the situation and realizing what was going on and granted him a child. So when you're actually making the wudu, when you wash your mouth, ask Allah, oh Allah, just as I have washed my mouth, allow me to taste the fruits of Jannah with this mouth. Or when you're washing your nose, ask to be given the smell or the fragrance of Jannah. And when you wash your face, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to brighten your face, يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ وُجُوهُمْ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ, on that day when some faces will be light, enlightened, and some faces will be darkened. This is how you take advantage of your circumstances and make a dua. Now this concept was very, very prominent both in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the dua of all the righteous people after him. So if you read the different dua and you study them, you'll see that this concept is very, very predominant throughout the various narrations of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make. The next of the adab is performing wudu before the time of a prayer. For example, let's say that the time for dhuhr comes in at 1 o'clock. It's from the adab of wudu to actually perform the wudu before 1 o'clock. And the reason is because this is a way by which you greet the prayer in a pure state. And I've said on several occasions over the past few days that our predecessors, our righteous predecessors, used to make wudu and prepare themselves for the adhan. And we make wudu and prepare ourselves for the salam. We want to catch the very, very last salam in the masjid and then we're content. But that's not the way it should be. We should prepare ourselves for the adhan, for the time of the prayer. So you perform the wudu, get to the masjid, and then come here and hear the adhan so that you can get the benefit of waiting for the prayer, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us is rewarded as if you're continuously in prayer. The one exception though to this rule is the case of the ma'adhur. The ma'adhur is that person who is an excused person within the sharia. For example, let's say that you have a chronic nosebleed or you have chronic gas such that it passes continuously throughout a prayer time, or you have a chronic leak of urine such that it passes continuously throughout a prayer time and makes you gives you a status which is called ma'lur, and we'll cover it more in detail later on. But if you are ma'lur, then your wudu actually breaks with the ending of each prayer time, along with breaking with all the other things that it would normally break with. If you are ma'adhur, that excuse is overlooked. So if you have a chronic nosebleed, the nosebleed is overlooked by the sharia, but in its place, your wudu breaks with the ending of each prayer time. So in that case, you don't want to perform, let's say it's zuhr, okay? You don't want to perform the wudu before the time of asr to greet the time of asr, because if you do, your wudu breaks with the ending of zuhr, because you're ma'adhur. So that's the one exception. That person will perform the wudu after the prayer time starts, because the ending of a prayer time breaks that person's wudu. We'll cover it in more detail, inshallah, when we get to the section on the ma'adhur. The next of the etiquettes is drinking from the water after the wudu. So that's one of the etiquettes, is to actually take water from the faucet and drink a little bit after the wudu. Obviously, you don't do that during the month of Ramadan. And also, this is done in a means, or as if you're trying to show that you're trying to purify your internal self as well. So you've done everything you can to purify your outside, so you take a sip of water asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify your inside. The final etiquette is to do 2 rak'ah after the wudu to greet the wudu. And this is called tahiyyatul wudu. This gives you the benefit, as we spoke of in the previous session, of placing your footsteps in Jannah. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Bilal, what is the arja deed that you do such that I have heard your footsteps in Jannah? And Bilal explained, radiallahu anhu, that it was that he would regularly perform salah after performing fahara. Now, there's another thing called tahiyyatul masjid, which is the 2 rak'ah that are done to greet the masjid. So when you're doing these type of nawafil, you do have the, according to the fuqaha, you can combine the niyyah. You are allowed to combine the niyyah. So for example, if you go outside and like make wudu and then come back in, Make a niyyah for both tahiyyatul masjid and for tahiyyatul wudu. So you get double the benefit, inshallah.